And welcome in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Porth already bobbing his head. What's going on? How we doing?
Good.
Fantastic.
Great. It's not Friday, it's Thursday.
I feel a whole lot better this Thursday morning than I did last Thursday morning, I'll tell you that.
You don't have that dread hanging over you.
I don't.
Will you have it tomorrow before the game coming up on Sunday?
No, I'm feeling pretty good.
Are you?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
I like it.
So as long as it's not the Colts involved,
I'm optimistic.
You're a little bit sunshiny.
Okay. Yeah.
Sunshine blower Ryan Porth back this week.
The Colts knocked the sunshine out of you.
Next week, the week of Thanksgiving, it'll be all doom and gloom.
Ugh.
Yeah, you can't let that ruin your food, man.
No. You can overpower that. I got faith in you.
You know what's going to ruin my food is having to watch Texans, Lions, Washington football team, and the Cowboys next Thursday.
Yeah. I might find an old classic American Thanksgiving movie rather than watch I like watching Detroit Lions football. It brings me joy. I'm not watching 1 second of Cowboys and Washington football team. I will go on and put that out there. I'm not watching 1 second.
Yeah, like I'll still like Watson and Stafford are good enough to where, you know, that's fun, kind of, still, maybe.
Maybe.
Man, I get some childhood memories of ruined Thanksgivings but those guys, man.
You gonna watch some Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I might. Yeah.
You've seen this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great movie. Great movie.
I mean, all the movie references in the last 2 days.
He's hitting on them.
Yeah, it's not nearly as bad as Robbie sold it. It's not as bad.
Yeah.
I thought it was bad. I know some people who absolutely don't ever, like have like 8 movies seen. I know one guy, anyway. So you're better than him.
I mean, the best man at my wedding's never seen Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, it's bad.
And he is a sports nut. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, you're fine.
Is that the best Sandler movie, Happy Gilmore?
It's up there. I really love Wedding Singer, too.
Wedding Singer's good.
I mean, Billy Madison is – I would probably put Happy Gilmore ahead of that.
What about Big Daddy?
Big Daddy's underrated.
Waterboy's
very underrated. Good. Yeah.
You don't seem to be a big fan
I
of
like
Waterboy.
I do. You know, it has some good moments. Hey, man, he's had so many bad movies. Have you guys seen the movie, what's it called, Funny People?
Awful. Awful movie.
Awful. No. And it's hilarious because they make fun of all his terrible movies. Like, he has fake movies in there like Merman. It's awesome. You don't like Funny People? Really?
No.
It went too long, but I thought it was hilarious.
No, I did not like that movie.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's basically about him. You know what
is
I mean?
Is that like one of his new Netflix movies?
No. This is a movie done by... And now I'm going to forget his name. The guy who did Superbad and all those movies.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My gosh.
Judd Apatow?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Judd Apatow. No. I love it, but it drags on later.
Porth has seen a movie I haven't seen.
How about that?
I would not recommend watching it. Well, Joe would, so.
Okay.
I think it's hilarious.
All right.
Yeah. It's got, Seth.
Seth Rogen?
Yeah, Seth Rogen.
Yeah, you know,
a lot of the usual. No, not a Seth Rogen guy? Oh, yeah. Man. Okay.
I don't think he's very funny.
All right. Okay.
Did you think he was funny and Knocked Up?
No. I've never thought Seth Rogen was funny in anything.
Wow.
It's not. Look, I get some people like him.
Dang.
Not my style.
Yeah. All right.
I don't like Seth Rogen.
So
that's an underrated movie, too, Knocked Up.
Yes, it is. Seth Rogen to you, Robbie, is like country music to Joe.
I may have a stronger dislike for Seth Rogen than he has country music. Yeah.
All right.
Interesting.
One of my least favorite people in Hollywood. Just throw that out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did he ever do to you?
He didn't do anything to me. I don't find him particularly good.
Okay. So you would choose to watch, like, say, Ben Affleck?
I would probably watch Ben Affleck before Seth Rogen, yes.
Wow.
That's how bad I think he is.
I don't know. I've never heard anybody say this, but that's you're welcome to the opinion.
Coming out of the gates firing today.
Yeah.
We will not tolerate any Seth Rogen love.
Seth Rogen slander today.
Joe, did you enjoy watching the NBA draft last night?
Yeah, I didn't. I really didn't watch much of it, to be honest. I was writing until very late. I kind of had it on. I didn't stay up for the whole thing, but found it interesting. I love the Grizzlies pick of Xavier Tillman. I think good for Saban Lee to go in the second round to the Pistons. You know, I mean, he's an interesting player. If he can make some shots, he's an NBA player in every other way, all the way. on Aaron Nesmith. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
To the Celtics.
Joining a pretty good team.
That's a nice they got a nice little Tennessee Vanderbilt thing going on there off the bench. That's a real nice shooter off the bench for them, you know. They have so many good players.
Still couldn't handle the Miami Heat. But yeah, they got so many good
players. They couldn't. This is true. Maybe Nesmith makes a difference. But good for him. I mean, it's amazing. That guy coming in, I don't think anyone would have said, you know, that guy's going to be a lottery pick after 2 years at Vanderbilt. Yeah. But if you've got size, you can shoot, you can do it. It's also very disappointing still to me that the media player three-point contest in which I was paired up with him when he was a freshman, we didn't win.
That is disappointing.
He was bad. I was bad too, but he was bad.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, this guy can't shoot very well.
That's how you viewed him? Just like this.
And then all of a sudden I'm watching this year. I'm like, where were you, man? Where were you in the media shooting contest?
You let me down, man. Come on.
Too bad he got hurt last year too, but it's going to be fun to watch him.
James Wiseman ends up with Golden State, as we thought, and now it may be not as big of a deal as we thought. Klay Thompson, they're, I guess, fearful that it's a major Achilles injury. We're hoping that it's not, because I would love to see Golden State back as a factor in the West, but not looking good for old Klay Thompson right now.
Basically, if it's not a tear, it's an Achilles strain?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could have a partial tear, but even if it's a partial tear, he's not playing this year, right?
Yeah,
that's
he did
awful.
In a pickup game.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's
– I mean, you play.
You got that now? I mean, people are playing now. I mean, the season starts in a few weeks. So everybody's pretty much back and playing somewhere, but that's rough. You go from tearing your ACL in the NBA Finals, not playing at all last year, and now you got an injury that could be worse.
Yeah, I hope it's somehow not a tear. Because that's brutal. That's a brutal back to back. I can't remember too many people that have gone ACL, Achilles, back to back. You're talking about a guy in his prime, young, great player.
Well, yeah. And then you have to wonder. And I like modern medical science is a lot better than it used to be, obviously. But you wonder if he ever comes back the same. Now he's a shooter, and I don't think he's just going to forget how to shoot the ball. But one of the great things about Klay Thompson, great defender, and.
Yeah,
that requires a lot of side-to-side movement. We'll see if he comes back the same.
Yeah, I mean, with the Achilles, you definitely see player. I mean, I think ACL, people come back a lot now from that and are fine.
The Achilles is the one
that you're
worried about. The
Achilles explosiveness is something that guys talk about losing. Now, I do think you're talking about a big guy who catches the ball and shoots, and hey, I mean, he'll be able to do that, but you're right. I mean, what does that do laterally for him? That's too bad because I was really looking forward to Golden State coming back and just taking over the world again this year.
Some more news coming out of Knoxville yesterday. Blake Topmeyer again, having a great week. Blake Topmeyer of the Knoxville News Sentinel. He's the one that broke the story over the weekend of the 8 Tennessee assistant coaches not taking pay cuts. Well, also comes out from Blake Topmeyer yesterday that Philip Fulmer quietly receives a 2-year contract extension back in May for the Vols. So the Fulmer now extended through 2023. What did you make of that decision to extend Philip Fulmer?
Well, So the timing of it's bad. The timing of the revelation is bad. I don't know why you don't just put out a release. So because you didn't, there's all this outrage about it, and there's no raise. You know, I mean, if you want Philip Fulmer to still be your AD, then great. You know,
sure.
So I mean, the actual news itself is no big deal. It's nothing like the other news. It's just the fact that. It comes out now, and everybody, I mean, Vol Twitter is just ready to jump on anything. So people are freaking out about it. But, yeah, I mean, if there was a raise tied to it in this time, then there'd be, you know, a reason for people to be upset. But I don't know. It's weird. I mean, so apparently then, like, Vol calls is just nothing last night? Like, they're not allowing Vol calls to happen?
At one call. I think one question from the crowd.
But Topmeyer has been tweeting. He was told that people were not let, like, were trying to call, and they weren't
right. I mean,
in.
they let one call through, is what I mean. Yeah. So some people apparently sat on hold the whole time.
So in the in the days of Fulmer being under fire, Dooley, Butch, as far as you know, this is not something that's happened before. They let vol calls, let it rip.
Just let it go.
I'm trying to remember, like, Butch vol calls in, like, 2017. I mean, I remember early in the year, but I don't remember, like, when we all knew he was getting fired.
Yeah,
what it was like, but they still had it. Yeah. You're sure of this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, because, yeah, I mean, it adds up. I don't remember ever hearing about, like, vol call. I mean, so is that Pruitt? Is that Pruitt just like, ah,
I don't know.
I want to do it.
Look, he's got a very comprehensive game plan he's got to get ready for against Auburn this weekend, and they're going to do a combination, throwing the ball and running the ball. And we hadn't seen him do that yet.
You can run it every snap, or you can throw it every snap, right? It's my belief that you probably need to be able to do both.
And with that belief, we thought that we were going to see that last week against Texas A&M, and we never had the chance to see it with the game being postponed. So he's been working on it for 2 weeks. He's a busy man.
Didn't either. That's right. I didn't either against Texas A&M. Man. That's weird, man. I just, if they're letting Pruitt dictate, you know, we're not going to. I mean, this is a tradition. Going back how far?
A whole long time. It's one of the great traditions.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible. It's actually probably one of the funniest things in the sport. And no person should be bigger than that. I want to know the history of this. I want to know if this has ever happened before.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows you where this program is right now. Just rough. It's been a rough week for Jeremy Pruitt. It's rough enough on the field right now, but everything off the field this week been very rough in its own right. Not a good look this week for the Tennessee football program.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that is a coach who's about to get fired. That's what you'd expect. Like, if that happened in November of 17 before Butch was gone, then I'd be like, yeah, okay. It's just like, you know what, it's too ugly. All people are going to say is, get your butt out of here so you don't do it. If you did it then, you're not doing it now. That's what you're saying. Like, this is too bad. Because when I first saw that, I'm like, oh, there's so much apathy that people weren't calling. Oh, my gosh. But no, that's
not it. Oh, you'll never
find
that. No.
That's not it.
That level of apathy I'm not sure exists in Tennessee football.
But couldn't you see Pruitt going to whoever the producer is of that and saying, I'm not taking any calls today?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then someone needs to say, hey, man, we've been doing this for decades, and coaches have been in all kinds of situations. You're not bigger than that. Apparently no one's courageous enough to do that, if that's how it went down.
Do you think maybe this is a Tennessee, not Pruitt, but SID athletic department thing that may have been taking place?
But again, then they are also – they are overstepping to ruin a tradition.
I mean, I agree,
but not hurt someone's feelings.
It's not like it's outside of the realm of possibility that SIDs would overstep.
Oh, no, I agree. Pruitt, I would expect Pruitt to be like, no. Let's bring him on. I mean, they've been saying some stuff to him already, right? There's been some real pointed comments, but that's what's great about
Coach, I ever think about throwing the ball?
I mean, there was something like.
Never thought about it before.
I'll go
we
back.
We might do that next game.
And run the ball.
May do both at the same time. But were people actually, like, really angry about Fulmer yesterday? I saw, like, a couple of idiots yelling about Fulmer getting an extension.
I mean, I follow a lot of all Twitterers now. I saw quite a few, like, oh, my God, what are they doing? You know, it's like, eh, it's just a bad time for it.
Yeah.
Again, if you want Fulmer out now, and maybe more people do because Pruitt's not working out, but, again, even if Pruitt flames out and goes – the way it looks like it's going right now, what was Philip Fulmer supposed to do when he came in and took that job? What, basically, he had like Mel Tucker, Jeremy Pruitt. Else did he have out there?
Not anything.
He had two D coordinators, you know, in the SEC. I mean, so I don't know. If people don't want Fulmer anymore, then I guess they can be mad that he got an extension. But, yeah, there's no raise with it.
I do think the constant adding of contracts, though, is starting to rub Tennessee fans the wrong way. And when we come back, we'll get into that a little bit. Are the Vols doing too much in the name of quote-unquote stability? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning. Joe, we talked in the last segment about Philip Fulmer, a contract extension that he apparently received back in May, just reported yesterday by Blake Topmeyer of the Knoxville News Sentinel. And that reminds me of another contract extension that they gave before the football season this year, and that was to Jeremy Pruitt. Now, look, I'll be straight with you. Like, I don't have a huge problem with Fulmer. Number one, he's not getting a raise. It's only until 2023, and Fulmer's not going to do this forever anyway. I mean, he's getting up there in age, and I don't think Fulmer was ever going to be like this super long-term fix for Tennessee at athletic director. And I think he's done okay, given the circumstances that he's had so far. But now with Pruitt in his third year and the wheels starting to fall off here in his third year, that contract extension looks a little rough right now before the season. We talked about it at the time. Like, I was very hesitant to give Jeremy Pruitt a contract extension based on a six-game winning streak to end the season before against teams that, quite frankly, none of them were all that good. Yeah, I needed to see something else, something more, before I was comfortable with that. But the talking points you heard out of Knoxville were, all right, it's about stability. This is a different year. You want to show that you're committed to the program for recruiting. Well, now it seems like you're doing maybe a little bit too much for quote-unquote stability in my mind, and that could put you in a bind if you've got to make a decision on Jeremy Pruitt at the end of this year or even the next year. The buyout could be pretty ugly for Tennessee.
So if you were watching the NBA draft last night, and you may have noticed that Adrian Wojnarowski was like two picks ahead of yes. everybody. And we see what Adrian Wojnarowski does on a daily basis with break and Shams, our guy at the Athletic, and you see what Schefter does, and a lot of these guys, you know, dictate the conversation to a large extent, and it's all agents. You know, this is one example of agents running sports.
Oh yeah,
and here's another one to me. College sports, it's incredible the con that schools have bit on, which is that you always have to keep extending. You know, the recruiting, my guy's got to have this, you know. I mean, he's out there. There are people are negative recruiting against him. You got to give him another extension. The thing is that's weird about the extension is, again, like, even if it was at the end of last year, it would have made – I mean, I still think it would have been premature, but it's like – it's sort of like an instant reward for what you've done. Usually it's because you fear someone coming to try to get your coach. Which, again, like, so for Jeremy Pruitt, he's just about at the top rung of the ladder. I mean, I guess if he did great at Tennessee, it's hilarious because earlier this year people were like, wow, Alabama, you stay away from my Jeremy Pruitt.
Maybe he'll go coach Bama one day when Saban's done.
You know, but that's about it, right? Like, this is not even a place where you worry about a coach getting poached. If he does well, he's at a great place. He's at, like, the top of the mountain. So it was just weird timing to do it in a pandemic, by the way, with all these other things going on financially. Yeah, it was a curious decision, and obviously it looks bad now because things are going poorly. But overall, just the contracts in college. I mean, again, you know, Greg Marshall is abuse, and we'll talk about that later too. And just all this stuff demonstrated that he did. That means he should be fired with cause. He walks away with $8 million.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's the racket is incredible. Now, it's also, if you want to take it to a bigger place, I mean, higher education, man. As someone with kids who are getting close to that age and you really start digging in on the numbers there.
It's terrifying.
My gosh. What a racket the whole thing is. But college sports and these salaries and these contracts and the agents and the way that they, to me, it seems like they just school these schools all the time. But this one is just, I just don't see why it was necessary.
No, we said that at the time. And look, we had a whole discussion yesterday about the program as a whole and how a big part of how they've gotten where they are right now is the instability and is how, you know, volatile it's been in Knoxville at times. But I do think you can go too far the other way and just start doing things for the sake of stability, and that can put you in just as big of a hole as all of the, you know, the volatility that we've seen out of Knoxville too. So you got to find a way to strike the balance. And right now, if you're a Tennessee fan, I think you've got to be at least fearful that maybe they're going too far the other way and trying to justify things in the name of stability when right now with Jeremy Pruitt and the way things are trending, it's not looking good. And you're just giving him a contract extension.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you have to have stability. You have to. If you don't, if you Don't ever give someone a chance. It'll get harder and harder for the next person, to me. And you could come in and find the magical person who come all of a sudden, oh, you're 9-3. Look it, it's going the right direction. But I think it gets harder and harder, one, to find someone, and two, for that person to do what you want done in the program if you keep changing. But you're right. If you don't have the right person, then stability doesn't mean anything. I mean, ultimately, you're just putting things off. I will say that I think it's easier to hire someone if you aren't switching out in year two and three on people. You know, if this were to go that way, we already have talked about and we've seen how hard it has been for Tennessee to attract people that I think should be attracted to this job, but yep. They haven't been able to get them. Why is that? I think, again, that it's the perception of, is that place stable? Is everybody on the same page? I mean, Beverly Davenport's in, and then Beverly Davenport's out, and the chancellor, president, that's all been switching around.
Like, even John Curry, as much of a disaster as I think that was, and a lot of Tennessee fans think that was, it's not a good look for the university that his tenure, I mean, you blink, and it's gone, and it's over with. That just leads to more uncertainty. If you're an outsider looking in, and you think, man, there's a lot of things to like about the Tennessee job. The fan base there is very passionate. You got as many facilities as anybody in the country. The money's there. But, man, they just don't seem to know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, the Curry thing, there was a great example of – so Tennessee fans looking at that one way and the rest of the world looking at it completely differently, right? Tennessee fans were like, Fulmer's back. Yay, save the day. And everybody else is like, how dysfunctional is this place?
Yeah.
What an embarrassment. You know, now I think it's huge for them that they got Fulmer and that they had him available and that they could bring him in. And it seems like there has been some stabilizing of some things through that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that whole thing just spoke of dysfunction. And so again, that makes it harder to lure a coach. Look, if Hugh Freeze, I mean, Hugh Freeze is the name right now. I can't think of another name right now that if they were to fire Pruitt, they could go out and get, you know, for sure. Now, Hugh Freeze, I'm sure, would jump at the chance to come coach in Knoxville.
Yeah.
But is that really going to fix everything?
I agree. Like, there's been this, like, everybody looks at Hugh Freeze now and they're like, oh, man. What a coach that guy is. Like, he's going to come in. He's going to win a national championship. I'm like, he's okay. He's fine.
Yeah.
But he's probably just as likely to get you on probation as he is to give you a 10-win season. I mean, that's the truth of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some similarity to, like, Lane Kiffin. Like, I think Lane Kiffin would have won at Tennessee if he would have stayed. I also think Lane Kiffin very well may have had some NCAA investigators poking around the place. I mean – but, again, you know, I think Tennessee fans would go back to that right now. I mean, it's a bad spot. I mean, it just is. It's a bad spot. And I think that right now with Fulmer in particular, I think he's going to get a chance to hire the next person. I don't think Fulmer gets – if he wants to stay and wants to do this long term, I don't – like long term for him, it's not going to be long term.
Right.
But I don't think he should be penalized if this – higher flames up, because again, he was put in a terrible spot. I mean, to be fair to Fulmer, this he did not get to do the whole coach search, so I think it's fair to let him do one. But my question is, after all this, what is that going to yield? Unless everyone thinks that Hugh Freeze is the magic pill, which I know a lot of Vols fans do right now, but I feel like it's also just grasping at whatever might be possible.
What if Hugh Freeze ends up at South Carolina? Is he willing to go to South Carolina?
I think he would if he doesn't think he's getting Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like I think he probably looks at it like, I'll hold out for Tennessee if I'm going to get Tennessee. But is Fulmer – like Fulmer could justify, again, the Pruitt firing and even the buyout because he was put in a bad spot if he really believes it's the right way to go.
Which I don't believe he does, by the way.
Yeah, I doubt he does either. Now, again, there's a Vanderbilt game coming up that could always change minds.
Yeah.
But is that – I mean, to me, I don't think you do it unless you believe it is Hugh Freeze and he will get it done and you've got to have him.
Yep.
If not, to open it up, I just think you're going to have more of the same.
When we come back, we had former Ravens tight end Dennis Pitta on the show yesterday, and he had some very interesting comments about the state of the Ravens locker room right now. We'll react to that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning. Getting into the Titans and the Ravens. And we had former Ravens tight end Dennis Pitta join the show yesterday, which was a great interview. If you missed it, you can check it out on Apple and Spotify at your leisure. Great interview from Dennis Pitta. We got into a little college football as well. But he had some interesting comments to start off the interview yesterday about the Ravens offense, how maybe the lack of production, the lack of opportunity for some players, and the predictability could be leading to some frustration boiling over in the Ravens locker room. Here's what Dennis Pitta had to say.
This is not the same explosive offense as we're used to seeing, as we saw last year. And, you know, I think there's been some disgruntled players, and it's a locker room that's getting a little bit frustrated. You saw Lamar Jackson last week make a comment before their game about defenses calling out their plays. That's never good when you're saying that publicly and putting your offensive coordinator in that kind of a position. Then 2 weeks ago, you saw Hollywood Brown frustrated with his role and his production and tweet about it and then have to delete that tweet later. So there's some grumblings in that locker room. There's some frustration on the offensive side of the ball, certainly, and a little bit of finger-pointing going on, which is never a good sign.
So what did you make yesterday, Joe, of those comments by Dennis Pitta and how maybe there's some frustration boiling over in the Ravens locker room right now with the way things have gone offensively the last few weeks?
Well, I'd say that probably just adds to my belief that they're going to be a ticked-off football team Sunday. I mean, I don't think that they're to the point of, you know, they're 6-3. They're not to the point of all-out mutiny, right? Dysfunction, you wouldn't think.
Orlovsky said their season's on the line, man. Yeah. It's on the brink.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess if they lost this game, it could get kind of nasty over there. 6-4 is a big, big downer for that team. And really, even what I thought they were not long ago, and what a lot of people have thought they were. So
next week at Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, and then next week at Pittsburgh, so you could be looking at.
The sad part is, like, the week after that, it's like, here's Cowboys. Here's
well, right. Giants. Right, they lose these two games and they're going 10-6. But 10-6 is disappointing for that team, you know. After 14-2, so you know, it sounds like Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, has not adjusted altogether. You get injuries; everybody has injuries, and the Titans certainly can relate to losing a star left tackle and what that does to you. We're seeing that, but yeah, you know, it's not good when you have a receiver complaining. You know, like apparently Hollywood Brown did on Twitter, as Dennis mentioned there, and things like that. It's not great, you know, and it's one of those things where if you're the Titans and you can have some success defensively early, which is almost funny to say out loud, but hey, if you can have some success defensively early, get off the field, get them frustrated, you know, that maybe you can actually bring some of that out and give yourself an edge.
And you mentioned the tweet from Hollywood Brown. This, I think, came on November the 1st. After a game where he wasn't used all that much. And basically the genesis of the tweet was essentially, you've got this guy with so much talent and you don't use it ever. And then he had to go on and delete the tweet after that. And we looked at Hollywood Brown's stats earlier this week. I think he's got like 6 catches in his last 3 games for 55 yards. I mean, not a whole lot going on there with Hollywood Brown.
No.
But you're always worried with his speed.
At some point.
Takes it over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point, you know, he's probably going to have a breakout game. So I'm sure he's looking at this matchup and thinking this is the week. This is a team that you can victimize down the field. So, yeah, it's interesting. They don't, you know, because Snead had the TD against the Patriots, but they don't scare you really on the outside. And Mark Andrews is a very good player, but they just – They seem, I guess, somewhat limited. Maybe it's more limited because of Lamar Jackson or scheme or whatever, but this is a very different kind of matchup. You know, at practice yesterday, I was out there, and what are the Titans doing? I always go to the DB drills because I want to see, is Adoree Jackson here? No, he wasn't. He wasn't out there at all, which doesn't bode well for him Sunday, and who knows with him when he will play this year. But they're working on cut blocks. You know, they're not working on typical DB stuff. They're working on getting off cut blocks. That's what you got to, you know, tackling at cornerback this week is a bigger deal than most weeks.
It is, and I just wonder when you hear about all these things with the Ravens, we played the comments from Dan Orlovsky earlier in the week about his thoughts of the Ravens offense not being the same and their season being on the brink. You hear Dennis Pitta yesterday talk about the injuries the Ravens have right now and how things offensively just don't look anywhere near the same as they did this time a year ago. Has it changed the way that both of you think about this matchup? Like, did you have an opinion of this matchup going into this week about how difficult it could be for the Titans? And has that been influenced at all by the things coming out of Baltimore this week that you've heard?
Maybe a little.
I would agree with that. Because it's not just who you play, but when you play them.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be catching the Ravens at the right time here, where they're coming off a loss to the Patriots, where they did not look good at all on either side of the ball. And look, the Titans, while they have their own issues, the Ravens have their own issues as well. I'm surprised this game is a 7-point spread in some places. Like, I think this is going to be a pretty close game on Sunday.
The Nance Romo game too.
Yeah, it is.
First time of the year. Yeah, I think the better timing aspect of this is if, you know, Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams are not out there, as, you know, like they weren't at practice yesterday. That, like, the tangibles I still think are bigger. You know, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a totally different defense up front without those guys. I still think that all this stuff we're talking about with the intangibles could turn into anger. You know, especially, you know, there is that history last year. I mean, you figure this team has enough pride to rally together and use this energy, you know, for something that would help them. Maybe not. Maybe this is well timed in that way for the Titans. Anytime a team is pointing fingers like this, and the Titans haven't had any of that, you know, that can go bad fast.
But shouldn't the Titans be angry too? Like, shouldn't they at this point? Yeah. You've lost 3 of 4, and you looked awful on defense. You got everybody nationally, and even some people here locally, just like burying you and saying, "Well, that defense, there's no way this Titans team could do anything the rest of the year. The offense isn't the same. They're done." I mean, people have said that. We've had people text in about that on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shouldn't there be some level of anger and motivation from the Titans as well this
sure.
week?
No doubt. Yeah. No, they should be fed up. They should be really upset with blowing the opportunity they did. It's not like they – I mean, people – anybody who didn't watch the Colts game – might just say, "Oh man, the Colts just went in and thumped them." But the Titans totally just botched that whole thing, you know? So they should be really upset about that, about the mistakes they made. And they should be, on the defense side of the ball, they should be just sick of the way things keep going over and over again. Now, can they change that, fix that? I don't know. Anthony Midgett talked this week and got a lot of questions. You know, press coverage. What are you guys doing? Are you guys going to change things up? And, you know, got a little bit defensive there. I mean, it's not as simple as they just play off every play. But, man, they've got to be sick of letting teams have 15 play drives on
them. I mean, you would hope so at this point. And you brought up the injury report yesterday at practice. No Jadeveon Clowney, no Corey Davis. Now, we know that's not from an injury
reason.
That's
not injury.
So you absolutely understand that. Adam Humphries, Adoree Jackson, Chris Jackson, Ben Jones, Larrell Murchison, Mykole Pruitt, and Roger Saffold all not practicing yesterday due to injury.
Yeah, I don't think any of those are surprising. I mean, we expect Clowney and Kelly to get these early week breaks and all that. So I don't – the one thing that I will say I'm surprised about the injury report is Humphries, because that's – so yesterday is 18 days since the Cincinnati game. That's a long time. But that – I mean, concussions are just – they're unpredictable. They can be really tricky and last a long time. But I would have expected by now that he would have been out there and through the concussion protocol, and he's not. So something to keep an eye on. Like we said, like Floyd Reese pointed out earlier on Tuesday on the show, which I hadn't even thought of, you know, they very rarely have had their top three receivers together. Yep. They've had 2 full games with those guys. This would help them a lot to have Humphries in this game. And, yeah, Corey Davis, not injury-related. Obviously, he just lost his brother Titus, 27 years old, to cancer. So, you know, you'd expect him back at some point this week.
I know we've talked about this a few times, but does this not continue to get weirder and weirder with Adoree Jackson? Like, the Pittsburgh week.
Well, it's a setback.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be.
It has to be.
It's got to be at this point. And, you know, we just got a text on our text line from Steve, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Any news on if Jackson's going to play this week? Not at practice yesterday. Not looking good.
No.
And, I mean, this has been, what, a 4 or 5 week process now that we've been kind of waiting on Adoree Jackson to get back in there. And it looks like there's at least a decent chance he's not going to be there on Sunday again.
Haven't seen him in a bit now. So, yes, there was that stretch where he was, they were weaving him into practice. And, again, he looked good. He moved well. He's running well. And then we haven't seen him for a while now. So that, to me, says setback. Obviously, they returned him. They restored him to the active roster. I mean, it's an interesting situation, you know, in terms of, usually you would think when you do that, you expect a guy, you know, within a couple weeks to be active. But honestly, I think he's so important to them that even if it's like 4 weeks, I think it's worth keeping the roster spot occupied by him versus just putting him on IR altogether. And if you could have him at the end of the year for a stretch run, that's worth keeping him in that roster spot. So, yeah, I don't think there's any question, given that he hasn't been out there in a bit now, that there's some kind of setback along the way. I think, and even the way guys were talking, some of the other guys around, you know, because of course they get asked, and it's sort of like, there's some excitement about Adoree's about to come back. And like yesterday, Byard's like, I mean, I don't know what's going on with rehab or whatever. Can't wait at some point. You know, you can tell even in the way questions are answered by others about him that it's not imminent.
Yeah. When we come back, some interesting comments made from Lamar Jackson yesterday regarding the Titans game coming up. We'll tell you what those are and react to those coming up next. But first, Hope, Health, and Connection. During these unsteady times, it's never been more vital for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more so for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This 6-week campaign launched on Monday, October 19th, and will run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is not last year's Baltimore Ravens, and we all need to accept that. Last year, Baltimore on offense was two things. They were explosive and they were dominant. Like in the explosive, both in the run and the pass game. That's not happening this year. They were dominating at the line of scrimmage. That's not happening this year. This is 3 weeks in a row now. Remember, 3 weeks ago, Hollywood Brown was outspoken about not getting the ball enough. Last week, Lamar's talking about their offense being predictable. And then last night, they scored 17 against the defense that the week before the Jets hung 27 on. You know, this offense doesn't do anything well. It doesn't do anything that a defense is going to look at this year and go, ah, you know, that scares me. Or we got to be focused on stopping that. Last year, it was Lamar in the run game. It was the three tight end package. It was the play action game. They don't have that this year. This is not last year's Ravens team. And I'll keep it real. Their season is on the brink. Their season on the brink of being lost.
That was Dan Orlovsky from ESPN earlier this week talking about the Ravens and maybe their season being on the brink heading into this game against the Titans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about the Ravens offensively this week. Lamar Jackson obviously headlines that Ravens offense. And, look, we talked about maybe some external factors both in the Ravens locker room and also thinking back to that playoff game a year ago for the Ravens against the Titans, where the Titans came in and Wesley Woodyard told us basically punched the Ravens right in the mouth, and the Ravens just weren't ready for it. Derrick Henry, 195 yards on the ground. He actually threw a touchdown pass in that game as well, and the Titans walk away with the win in the divisional round to send the Ravens home packing. A lot of people saying maybe this is the time for the Ravens to get their revenge. Well, Lamar Jackson was asked about that yesterday in his press conference. Here's what Lamar Jackson had to say.
Hey, Lamar, a lot of fans feel that going against the Titans again and what happened in the playoff game, that this is a revenge game. From a player who has played in that game to come play in this game, any sort of revenge, or does that game factor into this game at all?
You know, that it's not a revenge game. You know, the game is over with. You know, it was last year. We just fell short. Can't do nothing, do anything about it. You know, we just going into this game trying to be 7-3.
So Lamar Jackson saying the right things there. It's not a revenge game for the Ravens. Do you buy into maybe that being a thing in the NFL, revenge game, if you get put out the year before in the playoffs? And can you really even have a revenge game when it's not in the playoffs? Like, can you have a revenge game in the regular season?
No, I mean, I think you could probably, you know, bring up some bad memories from some guys, and maybe they see a little bit of red, you know, when they prepare for the Titans this week. But, I mean, really what he said, it's player speak, but it's true. I mean, if you win the revenge game, great, you're 7-3 now. Go to Pittsburgh.
You right. know?
and the Titans are 6-4. I mean, it's a regular season game. It's a big game regardless. So, I'm always fascinated with the, like, how much stuff like this matters. Even, you know, rivalries. I think that with rivalries, what you have a lot of times is the week of preparation is more intense.
Yep.
And even for individual players, you know, studying their individual assignments, things like that. Like, people, if you aren't up to play a football game, like, aren't you just going to get you're going to get hurt, right?
Or embarrassed. Maybe a combination of the two.
Yeah. I mean, these teams are both going to be up for this game. It's a big game. It's the NFL. It's their job. They only play 16 times a year. So I don't know. I don't know that it really factors that much into it. But I do sometimes think if there's disrespect. I mean, we know Mike Vrabel is a guy who certainly believes in stuff like this. He brings it up all the time to his team, how if they're being disrespected or people don't think you can do this or that. I mean, coaches use it all the time. So there must be something to it. But I also think that we overblow these things a lot. And that's probably the case here.
Yeah, and I wonder what's the bigger factor this week. Is it the fact that the Titans came in last year and blew them out in the playoffs and you want to get even or whatever the case may be from that? Or is it the fact that everything seems to be coming apart at the seams for the Ravens, especially offensively, and there's so much chatter about that? If I'm the Titans, I think I'm probably more worried about that than I would be the Ravens coming in here and saying, man, we got to get the Titans back from the playoff game last year. Because like I said, like, I hear this in hockey a lot too. You know, the first time you see, like, the year that the Predators played the Jets in the playoffs, the next year, the first time they saw them in the regular season, like, oh, it's time to go get revenge on the Jets.
Right.
Like, you're not getting revenge on the Jets in October. Like, it ain't happening. I wonder how much that gets overblown in the world of sports.
But the Preds did play with a chip on their shoulder that night against the Jets, and they smoked them.
Right, but is that from the playoff series, or that is that just because they had built up 3 years of hatred for that team before that?
Well, probably a combination of both.
Yeah.
It was game four of the season, and it didn't feel like that season that their season started until that game.
Yeah.
There are some games that just mean more. Like, I even think about the Penguins game here after the Stanley Cup final. Remember that unbelievable game?
Yeah.
You know, God, that was a crazy game.
Kyle Turris' first game.
That's right. And he scored, didn't he?
He
did.
And scored, I think, the shootout winner
that night.
Nuts. But
the beginning of great things.
Yeah, exactly.
Predators uniform.
There you go. This is what it's going to be. Here you go, Kyle Turris. But that was obviously not just another game. You know, but that's also different too. Like in hockey, there have to be a lot of just another game when you play 82. In football, I mean, you play 16 times. And I know that coaches always talk about it. Oh, I'm worried about my team not being up this week, stuff like that. But in this sport, you play so little, and it's such a physical, brutal, violent sport, you know, that I think there's a certain level of intensity that's built in.
I mean, I don't 100% buy Lamar Jackson's comments yesterday.
Yeah.
I just don't. Like, he brushed it off like 0% of this game is a revenge factor. You can't tell me that there's not some extra oomph within those walls in Baltimore this week because it's Titans week. And this is the team that knocked you out last year when you went 14-2. You were supposed to go to the Super Bowl. And this is the team, and this is the player in Derrick Henry that wrecked it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, I think that's a good play, especially on that side of the ball. Like, offensively, like Lamar and those guys, like, we have to execute, right? I can be all mad at you, and I just overthrew my receiver on 3rd and 7. Great. You were mad. Oh, super. Revenge, you know? But, yeah, I think it's also what's your job on the field? I think you're right. Like, the guys trying to tackle Derrick Henry probably have some. But if I'm John Harbaugh this week, do I want that to be a huge deal? Maybe. But I also feel like with all the other issues going on, isn't it more about let's execute and be pros and play how we can play?
I mean, the good news for the Ravens is the guy that served as like the lead fullback for the Titans last year wearing a purple jersey is not there anymore.
That's
like,
right.
They don't have to worry about getting blocked by their own guy.
He'd be mad. He'd be all fired up right now and probably get run over again.
Earl Thomas would be talking about how, you know, Derrick Henry isn't he has fake bravery.
Yeah, he's got fake bravery.
Yeah.
Both Brent and Johnny on Twitter agree with Port. They do not buy that Lamar Jackson isn't thinking of a revenge factor, at least somewhat, in this game.
So, like, seriously, just take him as an example. Like, just him and his performance. Does this mean he's going to really run it, like, drive his shoulder into Jeffrey Simmons, you know, at the line?
I would not advise that.
I mean, your quarterback needs to just play well, you know? But, yeah, I'm sure you're right. Like, I agree with you, Porth, in general. Like, it's not brought up this week. I'm sure it is. And I'm sure there's some guys in that roster that are still ticked off or have bad memories about that night, because that was a – I mean, they absolutely thought they were going to just show up and kick their butt, and then let's get on to the real playoffs.
It is interesting, though, like, and you bring up a good point with the quarterback specifically, because when you're in a situation like this and either you feel like you've been disrespected or you're not getting the praise you think you deserve, or you want to go up against a team that knocked you out the year before. Like, how many times with Brady and with Rodgers do we hear, oh, man, Brady's got a chip on his shoulder from being a 6th-round pick. He's going to show them this team passed over him. Rodgers, they think he's washed up. They think he's done. They drafted a new quarterback. How many times this year have you heard a, man, they really made Aaron Rodgers mad drafting Jordan Love, and that's why he's playing really great? How much does stuff like that factor into a quarterback play when at the end of the day, Joe, like you said, it's about like executing on throws, and I'm not sure how much emotion goes into that.
Yeah, I think it's preparation. I mean, that's I know, like Kirk Cousins, for example, is a guy who everybody doubted him, didn't think he would ever play at the major college level, all that stuff. So he watched 3 times as much film as anybody else. I mean, that's what it is. Or Tom Brady did his little workouts and ate kale, or you know what I mean? Like, it's all the stuff you
lots
can
of pliability
do.
Going on around.
Yeah,
there.
All the pliability. There you go. It's all the stuff you can do to give you an edge. So if Lamar Jackson, if that manifests itself, Lamar Jackson, it's him spending all night studying the Titans. You know, but yeah, on the field, it's like, make a good throw, please. Read the defense. You know, anger doesn't really help you there.
No, and that's why it's I think defensively, that's where if you're the Ravens, that would be where you play a little angry, going up against Derrick Henry and trying to pop him in the backfield a few times. Now,
everybody does that every
everybody
week,
Everybody tries that, and it's a lot easier said than done when you're going up against Derrick Henry.
I correct me if I'm wrong, every team they've played, whenever anyone gets him in the backfield, it's like they just it's like they're celebrating a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
So it's already this,
oh yeah,
we're gonna stop him, we're gonna tackle him, I'm not getting stiff armed, right? So that's already there.
I don't know if it was there for Josh Norman, but
well, yeah, Josh Norman became the example of what you don't want to be.
Yeah.
Or any Jags player.
Or any
defense.
Jags player in franchise history. Yeah.
Right. Too bad for Derek that they don't get to play. Maybe they'll play the Rams in the Super Bowl and he'll get to destroy Jalen Ramsey again.
Jalen Ramsey at some point. Yeah, could be interesting. When we come back, there's a specific player on the Titans defense that I don't think has been up to par at what we're used to this year. We'll tell you who that is on the other side of the break. But first, Joe, you got a word from FanDuel.
I do. I have a word from FanDuel and a word for people who like to watch football, may watch football, and see an ad for FanDuel Sportsbook and wonder to themselves if that is legal in Tennessee. Well, it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is legal, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. So you can get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. You place any bet you want, and if you win, obviously, you win. You keep the cash. If you lose, you get the whole bet back. Up to $1,000 in bonus site credits. You can take another shot. If you're looking at the Titans this week, the Titans getting 6.5 at Baltimore, that might be awfully enticing. So go ahead. Take a shot at the Titans. You can get $1,000 back risk-free for your first bet if they don't come through. And those risk-free bets are just the beginning at FanDuel Sportsbook. They have a simple app. They've got live betting. They've got game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. They have, you know, prop bets within a game. And, of course, you get your winnings in as little as 24 hours on FanDuel Sportsbook. Odds boosts every day. You know, people who had 68.5 points for Vanderbilt last week. Basically, that was free money if you bet on Vanderbilt because of a odds boost on that. Specials every day and big ones like that each weekend. So to claim your risk-free bet, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign in with promo code WPRT. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code WPRT. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.